Welcome to Man in America, a voice of reason in a world gone mad. I'm your host, Seth Holhouse. If there's one thing that the COVID pandemic taught us, it's that you can't trust big pharma. And maybe you saw that beforehand, maybe you got your first vaccine and then it hit you, or maybe you're still trying to figure things out. But for me, it was the final nail in the coffin of do not trust these people. Yeah, there's some good things about the modern medical system. If you get hit by a car, you get shot by a gun, there's great emergency care. But the system is not looking out for us, unfortunately. And I've had my own experiences with that and watching people that I love go through the system and pass away from the system and so much more. But one thing that I haven't covered before in depth, which I'm really looking forward to in today's conversation with Tracy Slepcevic, is autism. Because this is another thing that has been, you know, some moms have been sounding the alarm for decades about this. But I do think that since, really since COVID hit and this big crack has emerged in the dam that's holding back the truth about big pharma, a lot more people are talking about this, including now RFK. Thankfully, he's actually, highlighting some of these things. And so Tracy Slepcevic is someone that has a child that was a healthy baby, but after his vaccine schedule, I think around 18 months, developed autism. Okay, and now she understands it was directly caused by those vaccines. And so she has been, as she calls herself, a warrior mom in fighting for her own child's health, but also the health of other children, and fighting to educate parents and help parents understand how to detoxify their kids, how to, help them walk away, understand the truth about what autism is. And so in today's show, we're going to be going into her own story, but also the bigger picture of autism and how it's something that is still to this day covered up and lied about by the pharmaceutical industrial complex. They're not going to tell you that their vaccines caused your kids autism. What's going to happen is that you're going to say, hey, there's some strange things happening to my kids since he got these vaccines. And they're going to say, oh, no, don't worry about that. And, just accept that he's an autistic kid and learn how to deal with it. It's just what they tell us. And so this is going to be an important discussion. I hope that you enjoy it, I guess, as much as you could enjoy a topic like this. But it's key for us to highlight these issues because as of right now, the most recent result, kind of information I'm seeing is that right now we're roughly 1 in 30 kids are born autistic. And indicators show that within a couple of years, it could be as much as 1 in 2 people born in this country have autism, which is mind-blowing. Like, what does that mean for the future of our country? So let's jump into a serious discussion with Tracy Slepcevic. Let me know in the comments what you think. Make sure you hit that thumbs up. Make sure you subscribe to the channel. Enjoy the interview. Tracy, it's such a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you so much for being here with us today.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yes. So you are, I would say, like neck deep or maybe a kind of scalp deep in a topic that's affected a lot of people for a long time, but it's really, I think, become much more mainstream in the past 4 or 5 years, especially since COVID and a lot of this discussions about the COVID vaccine and everything, that vaccine awareness has become much more heightened in our country. But I'd say one of the biggest issues tied to vaccines that, as you put in your blog, is that the elephant in the room, which is vaccine and autism, right? Vaccines and autism. And I know that you've got your own story of healing a child with autism. And so I'm really looking forward to just diving into this because I've done, a lot of shows on turbo cancer and all the other kind of different things about big pharma and all that kind of stuff. But autism is something that I haven't covered in depth. And so I guess I'll just let you start maybe with your own story and how you got to, from just being, a mom to now running a, very important, nonprofit, being an author, speaker, et cetera. So I guess I'll hand it over to you.
Oh boy, you got all day? No, I'm kidding. So it began when Noah was about 18 months when he received his MMR and varicella vaccine. And my story is not new. It's the story of thousands of parents out there that Noah was meeting all of his milestones. He was doing really well. He was a very colicky baby. And I did notice that after, his 2 month vaccines, but I didn't tie the two together. When he turned 18 months and I took him in for his vaccinations and his well baby visit, as they call it, from there, Noah got really sick for a couple of weeks. He actually got measles from the measles vaccine But my pediatrician told me it was a rash and it was just a normal reaction to vaccinations. And with that, Noah started to regress. So he had his baby words. He walked early. He crawled early. He had great motor skills. He was doing really, really well. And with that, Noah, you know, I saw this slow regression into a state of autism. And I just kept asking the question, what is wrong with my child? What's happening to my child? And I got the same answer every time. And it's the same answer. It's very common that most parents hear is, oh, that's normal. By the way, it is not normal for your child to regress.
Have you heard of the bearskin hoodie? Well, the smart people are locking in their winter gear now because this is hands down the best time to prep for the coming winter. So Bearskin's running a 60% off deal right now, but that's only if you get your hoodie earlier. This hoodie is built like a tank. 340 GSM microfleece, 10 pockets with a clean, rugged look. This looks awesome. Plus, it zips right into the heavy storm rain jacket to become 100% waterproof when you need it. So when it turns cold, wet, windy, you're not scrambling last minute. You'll get free U.S. shipping, fast delivery, and you've locked in your winter gear already. That's a win-win. So do yourself a favor. Text the word Seth to 36912 to lock in your 60% off. Again, text Seth, S-E-T-H, to 36912. You'll get a link sent straight to your phone so you can check it out later if you're busy right now. And one more thing, when you support Bearskin, you're also supporting the Fallen Outdoors and the Hope for the Warriors Veterans programs. So you're not just buying great gear, you're backing a cause that matters. So don't wait till you're freezing to realize that your hoodie sucks. Get a Bearskin now while it's 60% off. Text Seth to 36912.
They are not supposed to regress. So Noah lost all his speech, whatever speech he had, he lost it all and just started screaming at me. He lost a lot of motor skills. So a kid that we used to call our little monkey, or as Steve would say, my moon, he'd be climbing the walls. He'd climb everything. And with, you know, after that, he didn't climb anything. He couldn't jump off 2 feet. He had very poor motor skills. You know, then started like the spinning, the lining, the stacking. He would sit in front of fans and just watch it go round and round and round and round. And, you know, it wasn't until we put Noah into a preschool when he was 2 years old, because we were like, oh, well, maybe he needs to be social. Maybe he needs to be around other kids. So we put him in there. And after just a short few weeks, they called a meeting and said, you know, we do find that Noah's not engaging. He's not developing. And we really think that you should have him evaluated at the regional center. So I'm like, okay. So took him to the regional center, had him evaluated. It was a pre-evaluation. And that woman was awful. Noah was running around. He's flickering the lights. He's not paying attention. He's screaming nonstop. And she's getting frustrated. And I'm like, I'm thinking to myself, she's in the wrong career field. So afterwards, I asked her, I said, is there anything you could tell me? Because I just needed answers. I was, you know, beyond myself. I didn't know what was going on. And she said, I don't know. He's either got severe ADHD or autism, but I'm not a clinical psychologist and I can't, you know, give that diagnosis, and walks out. And I'm like, you don't just say that to a mom. And so I never wanted to go back to the regional center ever again. And I'm like, okay, well, maybe he just needs to engage. So I put him in a different preschool. And it was a Montessori school. They kind of make him engage a little bit. And again, I got the same thing. You know, we're having difficulties with Noah. He's sitting in front of the fan. He refuses to wear his socks and shoes. He's screaming nonstop. He won't speak, yada, yada, yada. Your kid has special needs and he doesn't belong in our school, was what I got. And so literally I was ready to put my head through a wall at that point. And I had already been to the pediatrician and asked her, is there a possibility that my son could have autism? And she literally flat out looked at me and said, nope, he just needs speech. Because he was sitting there spinning her stethoscope round and round and round and round and round and round and round. And she's like, nope, kids with autism don't do pretend play, and that's pretend play. And I'm here to tell you that's also inaccurate. And, you know, the only one who can really, you know, fully diagnose a child with autism is a clinical psychologist. So as a parent and as a professional, I say get a clinical diagnosis. So there I was again, not knowing what to do. And by the way, that pediatrician, once she found out that Noah had autism, went and documented twice in his records that she recommended he get evaluated. Shocker. And so I walked into the office, and my husband had just hired a new front desk woman. And I always say God sends me angels, because she literally worked for us long enough to tell me what to do, where to go, and how to do it. She was the mother of a child with autism, but I truly believe that she was just an angel that came into my life, because after a short couple of weeks, I never saw her again. And beautiful human being. And who knows, maybe she wasn't a human being. And then, so then from there, I took Noah to the school district. And they were like, well, we find that Noah is autistic-like, and you need to take this report, go back to the regional center, and get fully, formally diagnosed. And so we did that. But until then, I had answers. So I felt good. So that day, although the only thing that kept ringing in my ears was the word autism, I had to go back to the office, and adjacent to our office was my naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joshua Burka. And he was walking down the hallway, and he saw me crying and asked what was wrong. And I said, Noah was diagnosed with autism. And he backs up for a moment and said the words that every mother needs to hear. And he looked at me and said, Noah will be fine. You need to go home and you need to do your research. Kids are making great strides with biomedical intervention. And thus began my journey, because I had that little fork in the road that said, well, you can wallow in your own self-pity, woe is me, my kid has autism, or you could suck your tears back up into your eyes and get to work. And my mom raised the, you know, suck your tears back up into your eyes. You don't get to brush it off. You don't get to cry about it. So I did. I, in a very short time, I had to get my PhD in how to heal my child, which a lot of parents do. So I became very self-taught. I went to every single conference. I went to parent meetings. I did trainings through the regional center, because that's all they gave me. And whatever it was that I needed to do to fight for my child. Now, in the meantime, he was enrolled in a special needs school that was really, really amazing. And they truly advocated for him, which is rare. Not every parent gets that. And so we started with something so simple as a diet. Let's clean out your kid's gut. And then I found a great functional medicine doctor, found, you know, that Noah was full of yeast because he was full of antibiotics throughout his childhood. Oh, he's got an ear infection again. Here's another antibiotic. And so there it went. And Noah responded really well to intervention. I got lucky, but here he was diagnosed at 3.5. That's still getting kind of late. You know, we want early, early intervention, at least around 2, 2.5. And so I had a lot of catching up to do. So me and Noah went on this bandwagon of healing, and it was just whole food. If you can pick it, pluck it, grow it, skin it, you can eat it. And that is exactly what we ate, he and I both. And, you know, he had to be on some supplements. We had to do a lot of IV supplementation because he was so full of yeast, you know, to get those levels up of what he was depleted in. And then his immune system was tanked. So most of these kids with, you know, vaccine injury have tanked immune systems. And he did get vaccines up until the age of 3. So, and there we went. I mean, we traveled the world. We went to the Ukraine for stem cell therapy. During this time, as you might know, my husband, who fights against big insurance, was found himself on the front page of the LA Times in a smear campaign the same year that my son was diagnosed with autism. So we lost his business of 20 years. We lost our home. We lost everything. So I bartered for treatments. I negotiated. I'm a really good negotiator on prices. And I did whatever I had, but I had a very clear intention. My son was going to get every single thing that he needed. So that's where the words warrior mom came into place, because I didn't say, woe is me, I don't have the money for it, or made excuses. I wasn't raised that way. Mom was like, what, you fell? Did you put a hole in my cement? Brush it off, you're fine. And, you know, that's what I got to do. And we got through it, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health. That's for darn sure. Steve and I have been through it all. And, you know, the outcome was amazing. Noah responded really well. Now he is a 20-year-old that, you know, he works full time so he can travel the world all on his own. You know, that's all he does. He drives, he works, he travels. He loves theater. He goes to a lot of theater shows and plays and Broadway but he's doing really well. And that's my goal for all families. So many years ago, I just wanted to help other families, you know, get the same results. And that began starting my nonprofit and the conference.
So that was, that MMR vaccine, it was roughly what, 2002, 2003? Sometime
so that was, it was 2006.
2006. Okay. Yep. Okay. Makes sense. I went to art school, not math school. I have two kids. I have a 5-year-old and I have I think she's now like 21-month-old. Right. And neither of them have ever had a needle inside of them. Thankfully. And with my youngest, who I think is around the age that you start noticing these changes, and Noah, so she's around 20, 21, 22 months. You know, she's just full of energy. She's talking. She's just, you can see that, that spark in your kid. I can't imagine what that would be like to see that start to diminish. So what was that like for you? Obviously, you have that fight spirit, but as a mother, seeing this precious child that you grew in your body and like sacrificed so much for to bring into the world, what was it like for you to see that regression start to happen with him? Like it sounds like it was probably a solid year and a half or 2 years before you started to see any rays of hope. What was that experience like as a mother?
So it was completely frustrating because I didn't have answers, which is why in a part of my book, I didn't just write an inspirational story of a mom who overcame a lot of trials and tribulations that single year, but also a guidebook. What do you do if you think your kid could have autism? What are the signs and symptoms? Because not every parent knows or understands. And I would have never in a million years thought autism, because my idea of autism was Dustin Hoffman's character in Rain Man, and I didn't see Noah that way. So, and then I remembered, so it was still in my head of, yes, he did do those things. So when I was filling out the questionnaires, I wasn't 100%, which is good why they also had somebody from Noah's Montessori school, the teacher, actually filled out the same questionnaires as to how she saw Noah, because I also saw Noah from the way he was before he regressed. I'm like, oh yeah, he was able to say those words. He could do that. He could do this. And I was a little bit in denial of, I'm like, sure, my kid could do those things. And it wasn't that I was denying that he could have autism. I was open to, I want the truth. So my biggest thing was frustration. Obviously, when you are told that your child has autism, there is a level of heartache and shock. And then when you find out that what the actual cause or contribution to him regressing or her regressing, then there sets in some anger. I didn't know. And one, I truly feel a lot of the toxicity probably, no, definitely started with me. I'm previous military. So I'm writing my Substack today on, you know, the links between military families and the level of autism, which is much higher in military families or those of veterans. So I am a veteran. In the first 3 months of my military career, I received 17 vaccines and then a flu shot every year after. And I had my own issues as well. So I had chronic joint pain, migraines, you know, all the different things that come with vaccine injury, which I never tied to vaccine injury. Here's a perfectly healthy young woman who exercise was fit. I always, you know, at least in my 20s, ate right, and took care of myself. But yet I was always in pain. So I always say that Noah kind of saved my life a little bit.
And so what's interesting, because, you know, I've had a lot of experience through family members that have gone through the medical system. You know, I lost my brother to cancer in 2015, my father to what I think is turbo cancer just recently. And what you see is you see these patterns, and I'm seeing this in the same instance with what your experience is. And I'll say even more recently, you know, as I mentioned, my dad, you know, kind of had cancer. It showed up, you know, pretty quickly and ended up taking his life in what I think, you know, a lot of people would call turbo cancer if they're being honest about it. It wasn't far from normal. But what I saw, though, was that there's a few things. One is that the medical staff that at one of, you know, the nation's top cancer hospitals, they gave no indication as to what could have caused the cancer. Like, it's not even part of the discussion of what could have caused it, right? Because if they start talking about what could have caused it, I feel like that they have to start admitting some guilt, right? Was it the Monsanto field that we grew up around as a kid? Was it, you know, diet? Was it vaccines, et cetera? But they don't even go down that. They don't even explore that path at all. The other thing is that you look at what they're feeding someone in the hospital, because he had to have a stomach tube, right, to get food into him. And you look at the back of the Ensure can, and it's disgusting to look at it. It's like corn, high fructose corn syrup, corn solids, this, and it's like, but then, and they're talking about, oh, you know, we should have, you know, we'll have the nutritionist or the dietitian or whatever, I forget the exact title that they gave the person within the hospital system, you know, come and take a look at his diet. I'm thinking, this person who has, say, studied nutrition is now like the hospital's nutritionist. Do they have any idea what high fructose corn syrup and high levels of sugar do to cancer? It's like, it just seems like there's such a complete disconnect there. And so they don't talk about what would have caused the issue, because then they have to maybe admit some responsibility for that. They also, they won't kind of look at you squarely in terms of what it really is. Like, they kind of avoid, it seems like, you know, same thing with autism. Like, they don't want to even really admit a lot of the information that I'm sure you knew as a mom and that I knew as a son, because it's like, if they admit that, then it's like it changes the whole course of things, and it in a lot of ways undermines their whole system. And so when I hear you talking about this with vaccine injury, with a child, it makes me think it's like they've got to be hiding this. It's like it must be something that, like, they have to know the correlation, because, you know how easy it is to find this stuff. You go to PubMed, and you can find countless published studies that are in peer-reviewed medical journals talking about the link between, you know, vaccine injury and this, but like they don't even really go down the path of opening up that discussion. But what it does, though, is that it leaves you thinking that, oh, just this terrible thing just randomly happened, right? And the only way to treat it is through their approved ways once you go down that course. But because it's like, if you look at what could have caused it, then you start to look at, okay, well, if you could admit that, hey, it seemed like maybe it was this MMR vaccine or this, you know, second round of vaccinations that caused this, and here's what we know about vaccines and some of the heavy metals and how it damages the gut biome and the and it ends up, you know, kind of affecting the brain, and we can do these kind of detoxes. Like they don't even go down that path. And so they leave you. I mean, thankfully you've got probably that kind of military backed fight inside of you to not stop until you get the answers. But I think that for a lot of parents and just people in general, that they just go to the doctor and the doctor says, oh, we can't do anything about it. And they're forced to just accept that, oh, well, I guess one of my kids is just one of the autistic kids and it's somewhat normal these days. And let's just see how we can make his life doable. I mean, it's sickening, actually. Here's the hard truth. Every 6 years, your dollar loses half its buying power. That means a $100,000 savings account today could feel like $50,000 by 2031. And you see it every time you fill up your tank, buy groceries, or pay the bills. Prices are up. Your dollar's down. But there's a simple way to protect the value of your savings with something real, something proven. Gold. An asset that holds its value over time. And that's why I trust Noble Gold Investments. They make it simple to protect your savings with physical gold or silver. No high-pressure sales, no call centers, just honest guidance, one-on-one support, and transparent pricing. And right now, when you open a qualified account, Noble Gold will send you a free 10-ounce silver American flag bar as a thank you. So head over to goldwithseth.com or call 626-654-1906 today to learn more. Again, that's goldwithseth.com or 626-654-1906. Don't just protect your wealth, preserve its power.
And you're absolutely right. So, I mean, we were told that Noah would never live a normal functioning life and that we needed to prepare for care and so on and so forth. You know, the MRI confirmed it. The neurologist was like, sorry, it is what it is. But nobody could tell me anything. I'm telling you, the day that Dr. Burkle looked me in the eyes and said, Noah will be fine. Moving forward, I just set a clear intention, and I truly feel at that moment, you know, God set a path for me. And so I got to take a different road. And what a lot of people in general do not understand is that, sure, you can have a pre-genetic disposition that predisposes you to an injury of any kind, whether it be vaccine injury, environmental toxins like glyphosate, you know, what's in our food, what's in our water, everything else. It's going to be those environmental toxins that trigger, you know, those genes. And, you know, from there, and then we have these kids who have, you know, MTHFR that make them predisposed to vaccine injury. And like almost 100% of these kids have MTHFR. It's almost like a given. But from there, you know, you have to decide, you know, where you go from there. And a lot of people just don't have the knowledge. But the good thing is that there's good news. You know, all this stuff is coming to light. You know, thank you to Bobby Kennedy and John Knox, you know, who works for ASPR, as to everything that's being exposed. You know, last week they changed the CDC website, clearly stating that the statement that the link between autism and vaccines does not exist is not true. That there's not enough data behind it for them to actually state that. So to me, this is a huge win. We have so many wins. Kennedy in President Trump coming out and stating that, you know, well, they said only mercury, but that's, oh my God, that's a little, you know, only one of the neurotoxins, and acetaminophen can lead to autism. I have a mom who's on my board. She has four children with autism. The first one wound up in the hospital from the MMR. And the second one, she only gave the necessary vaccines still, you know, so those two are very mild, the autistic. And then she had twins and she's like, I'm not going to vaccinate. But she had preeclampsia, so she had to take acetaminophen throughout, Tylenol throughout her pregnancy. And those two are actually the worst of all four. So there are many environmental toxins. It's not all vaccinations, but vaccines are the number one. Every time you see the rise in the number of vaccines, you see a rise in the number of autism. It's not rocket science. It's there. It is clearly there. And people need to start opening their eyes to what's going on. If they don't know after COVID, like millions of people who have died and been injured from a COVID vaccine, if they don't know that, then, you know, I always say, unfortunately, we're all here as spiritual beings having a temporary human experience. And some of us are just on our own perfect journey. And we just have to let go and let God take over. Even with my own son, 20 years old, but been very programmed in high school, super liberal with two very conservative parents. But very kind and loving. And I'm like, son, you're on your own beautiful journey. So.
And so I pulled this up briefly, which is just astounding. This is on your nonprofit website, which is autismhealth.com. This is astounding, just this one chart. This only goes to 2022, showing that it says autism prevalence has increased 384% since 2000. Right. And that's not since 1970, right? So 1970 here, you can see that the autism was at 1 in 10,000. Now, granted, you could say that perhaps in 1970, they weren't looking for it. They hadn't identified it in the way that we do. And okay, maybe that accounts for some aspect of this. 1995, it was up to 1 in 1,000. 99 was 1 in 500. 2000, so it went from 1 in 500 to 1 in 150. 2000, 2002. Whereas now, as of 2022, it's at 1 in 31, which, I mean, this is, I mean, to me, if you look at this statistic and you extrapolate this data, to me, this is the end of the human race. Because what, how long does it go? I mean, unless something's done about it, it's like, how long until it's 1 in 2? And what happens if 1 in 2 people in our society, say 30 years from now, are autistic? How does our society function? I mean, this is a very, very concerning chart. And so what do you think contributes to the rise in this information? The prevalence of autism?
First of all, I think the prevalence of autism is much higher. This is for 8-year-olds. So they monitor only.
Interesting. Okay.
They don't do a range of 2 to 17, which is what they should do. So what about all the kids who've been diagnosed between the ages of 2 and 8, right? Because that's the big number. That is the biggest number. The largest population of our children, that's where the autism. I could probably tell you Noah was much higher functioning by the time he turned 8 years old. And I pulled him out of the regional center. So he may not have been part of that number, but he was still autistic. And so to me, yes, every time that they would implement, so let's say in 1989, we have the biggest jump, but we had the biggest increase in the number of vaccinations. So one, we're always behind in monitoring. So we have it from 2022, and we should have more recent data. And Kennedy stated that when he made the announcement. He said, in the near future, we want to have more recent data. And I believe it should be a broad spectrum of data. And so I believe that number is much higher. And as of now, it is predicted that if it continues the way it is, by 2030, it will be 1 in 2, unfortunately. So that is the prediction. And that is only 5 years away.
That's crazy.
It's not far away. Yes.
Here's a chart. Yeah, this is, I'm sure you've seen this. This is just something I did quickly searching. This is showing the purple dots map there, it says are the vaccine number according to cumulative doses, and the red are the combined prevalence per 1,000 children of autism. And so, I mean, again, this you look at that curve going up there in the red, it's even more frightening than the previous chart we looked at. But you can see that as the vaccines have increased, and you can also see there, as you mentioned, 1989, which I know was shortly after Reagan signed the, I think it was the Act of 86, that gave the vaccine companies complete, basically immunity, saying that, you know, you can kill all of our kids with vaccines and we're not going to hold you responsible because it's for the greater good, right? We need to accept that there's some risk in vaccination, but look at polio, look at these other instances, which we know we've been lied to. So this right here again shows, now obviously, you know, you could say that maybe vaccine also is tied to digital devices. And so you could kind of chart these other things that have increased over the last, say, 20 years, but still it's hard to ignore this. But one question I do have from you, and I know that you've probably done extensive research into this, is that, so you mentioned for your child, it was specifically after the, I think the 18-month kind of visit MMR vaccine and a few others, but probably kind of loaded into there. What are the mechanisms for that? Like, how do vaccines actually cause autism? Like, what is the, I know there's probably a lot of different factors, and you mentioned yeast, which probably, you know, is tied to antibiotics and gut, you know, biome and everything. But how is it that these heavy metals and, you know, say aluminum and mercury, et cetera, how does it kind of physiologically change the brain of a child? Like, what happens that actually causes this response in a child that gets a vaccine?
So typically when we receive a vaccination, one, they should be safe, they should be effective, but they're not effective because, you know, so it doesn't kick in that immune reaction if you just have the vaccine all by itself. You probably already know this, but so they add an adjuvant, which is aluminum or mercury. Now they're taking mercury out of vaccines, but aluminum is in almost every vaccine. Mercury, I think, was still only in the flu shot and maybe COVID. I don't know. I never got one, so I have no idea. And, but anyway, so what happens? You have a child. So between the ages of 0 and, you know, 12 months, they receive about 22 vaccines-ish, right? It's probably higher now. But that is how many my son received in the first year of his life. And then you have, so obviously neurotoxins, you know, they have to, their main thing was like, oh, well, they can't pass the blood-brain barrier. But then you have things like acetaminophen. A kid has a fever. What does the doctor say? Rotate Tylenol and Motrin. Okay, so let's just give them acetaminophen, open up the blood-brain barrier. Throughout their lives, throughout our lives, we have continued oxidative stress on the body and on the brain. So what happens typically is the myelin in the brain, which is the protective coating over the neurons, that's that protective sheath, is you know, destroyed over time. And can vaccines or neurotoxins, those heavy metals in the vaccines, break down the myelin in the brain? Yes, that's one thing. And so people are wondering, well, why is it the MMR? That's a live virus. It doesn't have an adjuvant in it. So here's the theory, and it's only a theory. And I'm not a doctor. I've gone to school for alternative medicine, but I'm not a doctor. Is that they receive all these vaccines, right? And all those adjuvants are floating around in their little bodies. And then they receive a live, they typically four. So MMR and varicella, or just MMR, right? That's still a lot of live viruses. So when you have all those live viruses, it kicks in that immune reaction. So they need to give them together, you know, for them to get that immunity. And so it's a bit of an overload. It releases microphage, right? And those microphage go up go around and they, the white blood cells, eat all the bad stuff in your body. And that gives it a direct path to the brain as well. So when you have like the overload, so they want to do the four, they want to do as many as possible. And this is a theory. It's my theory too. Is that they're going to take all the garbage that they got from the first year and use, you know, the MMR and varicella vaccines, you know, too, because there were studies that doing, you know, initially, Dr. Andrew Wakefield had said to spread it out, you know, and that it, you know, they wanted to see if there was a better, you know, reaction, if they would just spread it out as to where they wouldn't have, you know, serious gut issues. But vaccines also destroy the gut. They do a lot of things. They cause allergies, asthma, ADD, ADHD, and, you know, you have gut dysbiosis and all kinds of stuff that people don't realize they're getting from vaccinations when they think, oh, I'm going to get healthier. No, you're not. You're absolutely not. You need to trust your God-given herd immunity that, like when we were kids, my mom
trust
said,
your gut.
Go to the chicken pox party, honey, so you can get it and get it over with. Like this year, I'm like, I got the flu. Yay, I'm done. I'm not worried about catching it again. So go out and get it, you know, and we need to, you know, spread germs. And kids need to be exposed to germs, not wearing a mask. So I did industrial hygiene and environmental protection when I was in the Air Force. I evaluated hazards in the workplace and I prescribed the proper PPE. So you can imagine how dumb I thought it was that, you know, people put paper on their face. And I'm like, I want everyone to know if I cough, your eyes can absorb it. You will get the virus. And this, you know, having all these openings, it just doesn't work. When COVID hit, everyone thought me and my husband were stupid because we went to the grocery store with a full face respirator on. We didn't know what was going on, but we were like, hey, we're actually going to be protected. But regardless, we need to be exposed to those germs. We need to go back to herd immunity. We need to trust our God-given immune system. Polio vaccine did not cure polio. You could thank your local plumber. They cleaned up the water system and polio rates were already starting to go down. And then they implemented a vaccine and it started to go up. And a lot of people get polio. So since the 70s, the only polio in the United States is vaccine induced. So, you know, please note that. And where does, now it's named something different. What are all the different names for polio now? So anything that takes away any type of physicality, any disorder or disease that takes away your physical ability to do something is pretty much from your polio vaccine. You know, you have MS, ALS, all those different, they're just named something different. And, you know, so people need to wake up and they need to be, you know, more aware of what's going on. And because, you know, this is part of their deplete the population, because how many children with autism are going to go on to have kids? I honestly don't think, no, it doesn't even want children, but how many of them are actually going to have the ability to go on? And these poor kids who are completely disabled, they're, you know, very high or low functioning autism. They are non-speaking. You know, they wear diapers. They can't control their motor skills. You know, those individuals, and who's going to take care of them in the future? What happens when the parents go? And this is a huge concern.
It is. Actually, I just want to pull this chart up real quick, because this is, you mentioned what happened starting in 86, but then looking at, this is just showing back in 2024. This is, again, this is just the CDC, the recommended CDC schedule. Now, this is obviously, you know, this is pre-RFK and everything. This is last year. I mean, you look at this and it's just like, oh my gosh, this is absolutely insane. These are all the vaccines they recommend. So if you go to your doctor and say, hey, I want to do everything right, these are all the vaccines that are recommended for the first 12 months of a child's life, which is absolutely insane. It's absolutely insane. It's like, I mean, to me, it's almost like, well, you know, there might as well be no God, because you look at this and it's like, well, God didn't give any of these babies any kind of natural immunity. And, you know, 100 years ago, all the babies probably died by the time they were 2 years old because they didn't have all these vaccines. Like, that's the logic that would lead you, you know, that you can be led to in looking at how much medical intervention they think that you're supposed to have. But one you know, question I do have, and this is just obviously it's not a specific answer. It's, every case is different, but through your foundation, which I'll bring up your website actually right here. This is the graph is on there. So it's autismhealth.com. I know that you do a lot. You hold events. You've got an event coming up next year, early next year, which is found on here. But you're, I think you're interacting with a lot of people that are working on this same journey. What are some of the more common ways that you're seeing parents successfully healing vaccine injury? I know you know, for your path, you seem to be lucky that it was primarily diet related. But what are some of the, you know, if someone said, hey, what are the handful of top things that you'd recommend to start with for someone trying to heal vaccine injury, what would those be?
So number one, all your different interventions are not going to be as successful until you heal the gut. So, you know, all these kids have gut issues. And so I always say the number one test to do is, you know, is a stool test. Even before a blood test, is to address the gut. And I'm not talking just remove gluten. Cold turkey, real food, and avoid sugar, refined sugars and carbs. It's just feeding the gut. It's feeding whatever's in the gut. Could be parasites, could be, you know, there's so many different things. We're all full of parasites. So everyone needs to do a good parasite cleanse. And so really addressing the gut first, beyond that, whatever deficiency they have. So this is where blood work comes in and testing for those different, deficiencies and supplementation, so on and so forth. These kids do need supplements. Kids in general need supplements. Everybody should be taking vitamin D. Even as early as possible. And then, so from there, supplementation, there's different interventions. I always heed a warning on chelation to do a more mild form of chelation. IV chelation is very harsh. You're dumping a bunch of toxins in the system is overloaded with toxins when you do IV chelation. And I learned that the hard way. And other stuff like hyperbaric oxygen therapy, which I thought was great, but Noah had tubes in his ears. These kids typically cannot clear their ears and they take a huge risk on ears. So if your child cannot clear their ears, please, you know, do not stick them in a hyperbaric chamber. But other than that, I highly recommend it. Stem cell therapy. So I'm a huge proponent on stem cell therapy and I've been studying it since 2010. We took Noah to the Ukraine for stem cell therapy. And then recently he had it done again. You know, they do it right here in the United States. And we do umbilical cord stem cells. And very clean. They cannot make any claims or state that it heals or cures or anything. And it's all word of mouth. So if anybody ever has any questions, they can email me at Tracy@autismhealth.com. But stem cell therapy is huge. So my son regained all his motor skills from stem cells. And I mean like overnight. So we're also going to be doing we've partnered with CPI, Cellular Performance Institute. You probably know who Ed Clay is. And he is going to fund a clinical trial on, you know, mesenchymal stem cells for kids with autism, because he's never treated any kids with autism. And I said, why? And he said, well, I don't know if it works. And I said, well, let's figure it out. So, and other than that, we have also partnered with Dr. Dan Goodnow. And he created what they call a plasmalogen supplement. Now, plasmalogens, which are in most of your cells in your body, are enriched in the brain, the heart and the immune system, but they help repair the myelin in the brain. That's what our women's breast milk is full of, is plasmalogens. So that's why they say in children who are not breastfed, the chances of them having a, you know, neurological condition goes up. if they're not breastfed. And that is, that has to do with plasma allergens. So we are actually doing a study for kids, and they are providing plasma allergens for free through Dr. Goodenough's program, you know, for these families to be able to receive the plasma allergen supplements. And then we're doing a fundraiser through Autism Help for people to donate so we can actually, you know, help sponsor those families. But regardless, they're providing those supplements at no cost. So to me, even my mom was start, and she's on statins. I can't get her off statins. Don't go on statins. My non-professional opinion. And her mind's starting to slip, and I have her on plasma allergens, and she's like, wow, my memory's better. I'm going to continue taking the supplements, because she hates taking supplements. So it gets rid of the foggy brain, but it helps repair that myelin in the brain, that protective coating over the neurons. So those are the number one things. There's so many different supplements. It could go over the laundry list. But those are like my main things that we're actually working on right now.
It's really, really helpful. So, before we sign off, I want to just bring up a couple of your websites, and I'll make sure that the links are in the description as well. So Autism Health, this is your nonprofit right here. You've also got your Substack, your website here, just warriormom.com. Your book as well, right? So I'd recommend, you know, if anyone wants to learn more about this, if you've got kids that you're kind of concerned about, or grandchildren, great place to start. You can get your book, which I would highly recommend. And then your Substack, which is, I'm a big fan of Substack. So your Substack, which is just autismwarriormom.com. People can access your Substack there as well. And yeah, I mean, thank you for doing what you're doing. I look forward to having some more conversations about this, and maybe kind of picking one of these kind of areas of discussion and kind of diving deep into it. But I guess kind of as we're concluding, what are your final thoughts for those who are watching and listening?
So to me, for anybody who's just generally watching and isn't impacted by autism, you can be impacted by autism. So make sure that you have that knowledge and research. And for those who have been impacted by autism, you know, I always say, you know, turn your faith and your trust to God, because you won't be disappointed. At least I wasn't. My son gave me purpose. He truly did. I don't regret my journey. I don't blame myself anymore. As to, you know, his injury, he's thriving. And then set a clear intention. If you set a clear intention to do something, you can create anything. We're all powerful creators if we put our mind to something. But I felt truly down to a cellular level that Noah was going to be fine. And he is. Those are all my recommendations. I always say, God bless you all. And what a beautiful journey it is. And just, you know, take it on.
Well, there you go. Well, Tracy, thank you very much. It's a pleasure speaking to you. And I encourage people to check out your book and your websites and everything. And yeah, thank you for doing what you're doing. It's very, very important.
Thank you, Seth. I appreciate it.